Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naraṁ caiva narottamam. Devim Sarasvatam Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayet. Greeting from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text 17. Bhumir Dripta Nripa Vyajya Daityanika Satayutai Akranta Bodhibharena Brahmanam Saranam Yayo Bhumir Dripta Nripa Vyaja Daityanika Satayutai Akranta Bodhibharena Brahmanam Saranam Yayo. Bhumir Dripta Nripa Vyaja Daityanika Satayutai Akranta Bodhibharena Amanam Saranam Yayo Bhumir Dripta Nripa Vyaja Daityanika Satayutai Akranta Bodhibharena Brahmanam Saranam Yayo. Ladies, Bhumir Dripta Nripya Vyaja Daityanika Satayutai Akranta Bodhibharena Brahmanam Saranam Yayo. Bhumir Dripta Nripa Vyaja Daityanika Satayutai Akranta Bodhibharena Brahmanam Saranam Yayo. Bhumi, Mother Earth. Dripta, puffed up. Nripa, Vyaja, posing as kings or the supreme power personified in the state. Daitya, of demons. Anika, of military phalanxes of soldiers. Sata Atutai, unlimitedly, by many hundreds of thousands. Akranta, being overburdened. Bodhibharena, by a burden of unnecessary fighting power. Brahmanam, unto Lord Brahma. Saranam, to take shelter. Yayo, went. Translation. Once, when Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds of thousands of military phalanxes of various conceited demons dressed like kings, she approached Lord Brahma for relief. Please repeat. Once, when Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds and thousands of military phalanxes of various conceited demons, dressed like kings, She approached Lord Brahma for relief. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the world is overburdened by unnecessary military arrangements, and when various demoniac kings are the executive heads of state, this burden causes the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya taratmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I appear myself. When the residents of this earth become atheistic and godless, they descend to the status of animals, like dogs and hogs. Their only business is to bark amongst themselves. This is dharmasya glani, deviation from the goal of life. Human life is meant for attaining the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness. But when people are godless and the presidents or kings are unnecessarily puffed up with military power, their business is to fight and increase the military strength of their different states. Nowadays, therefore, it appears that every state is busy manufacturing atomic weapons to prepare for a third world war. Such preparations are certainly unnecessary. They reflect the false pride of the heads of state. The real business of a chief executive is to see to the happiness of the mass of people by training them in Krishna consciousness in different divisions of life. Chaturvanyam maya shishtam guna karma vibhagasaha. Bhagavad Gita 4:13. A leader should train people as Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, and engage them in various occupational duties, thus helping them progress toward Krishna consciousness. Instead, however, rogues and thieves in the guise of protectors arrange for voting system, and in the name of democracy, they come to power by hook or crook to exploit the citizens. Even long, long ago, asuras, persons devoid of God consciousness, became heads of state, and now this is happening again. The various states of the world are preoccupied with arranging for military strength. Sometimes they spend 65% of the government's revenue for this purpose. But why should people's hard-earned money be spent in this way? Because of the present world situation, Krishna has descended in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is quite natural, for without Krishna consciousness movement, the world cannot be peaceful and happy. Om Agyanitamirandasya Ginandana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Bhumir Dripta Nripravya Jadaityanika Satayutai Akranta Buribarena Brahmanam Saranam Yayo. Once, when Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds of thousands of military phalanxes of various conceited demons, dressed like kings, she approached Lord Brahma for relief. So this is text 17 to the 10th canto, but it's actually the first verse which begins this description of the main character of the book. Up until this point, the prior 16 verses of this 10th canto were a conversation back and forth between Maharaj Parikit and Sukadeva Goswami, sort of introductory. But at this point, this particular verse, the conversation changes and Sukadeva Goswami begins his description and introduction of why the Lord appears and that history of how he will appear. In any storytelling or narration or drama, there's an introductory part which sets the scene, like once on a cloudy, rainy night. Or the basic one is once upon a time, similarly, once. But then there's particulars, there's a circumstances which are described. This is part of creating a narration. And there's a nice parallel in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. We know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted books written which would especially enumerate and explain the intimate love of the residents of Vrindavan with Lord Krishna. And he empowered Rupa Goswami to foremost writer, and we'll read a little bit about how that manifested. But when he met Rupa Goswami, he instructed him to write books, excavate lost holy places, build temples, install deities. And this was in Ramakeli. So Rupa Goswami departed, went to Vrindavan, and began to write a drama. But one night he had a dream when he was in Satyabhamapur. He was coming back after writing for some time. He was coming to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri. And Satyabhama came to him in a dream and explained to him that don't write this drama the way you've been conceiving of it. Split the drama into two separate dramas, and I'll benedict you and help you write these very nice plays. The basic idea was that one of the plays would be his pastimes in Vrindavan, and another would be his pastimes in Dwarka, Vidadga Madhava and Lalita Madhava. We also know that when Rupa Goswami arrived in Jagannath Puri, no one really knew him because he was from a different part of Bengal. Then he had met Lord Chaitanya and gone to Vrindavan. So when he came to Puri, he stayed with Haridas Thakur, small hut, kind of close to Radhakanta Mutt, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Kasi Misra's house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to come daily. And we know from previous chapters in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that during Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya, prior to Rupa Goswami's appearance, those years that went by prior to Rupa Goswami visiting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant this enigmatic verse that nobody really understood, but they all saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy and appreciated it. But nobody really understood the inner meaning of that verse until Srila Rupa Goswami came to Puri, penned that verse, went to the beach, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and saw it. And then devotees came aware, and they met him, and they glorified him. So we'll pick up from that point slightly thereafter. All the devotees from Bengal have gone back after the Rath Yatra to Bengal. Characteristically, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not take seriously an offense committed by a pure devotee. The Lord accepts whatever small service a devotee renders as being such a great service that he is prepared to give even himself, what to speak of other benedictions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Purusottama, the greatest of all persons, has a pure mind. He is so gentle that even if his servant is implicated in a great offense, he does not take it very seriously. Indeed, if his servant renders some small service, the Lord accepts it as being very great. Even if an envious person blasphemes the Lord never manifests anger against him. Such are his great qualities. When Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come with his intimate devotees, they both immediately fell down like logs and offered prayers at their lotus feet. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal devotees met Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. Then the Lord sat down in an elevated place with his devotees. Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur sat at the foot of the elevated place where Mahaprabhu was sitting. Although everyone asked them to sit on the same level as the Lord and their associates, he did not do so. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Rupa Goswami to read the verse they had previously heard, Rupa Goswami, because of great shyness, did not read it, but instead remained silent. What happened was that previously. This is after the devotees had gone back. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Rupa Goswami one day, and he saw that he was writing his books and Haridas Thakur was chanting. He said, "Oh, what kind of a book are you writing?" And Rupa Goswami became shy, but Mahaprabhu grabbed another one of the leaves and he read it, and we'll read the verse. And when he read it, Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy. And he didn't really say very much that day. He went and he took his bath and he appreciated. The next day when he came back, he brought Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar, and different devotees with him. So now they're meeting to hear these verses and explanations of Rupa Goswami. Then Swarup Damodar recited the verse, and when all the devotees heard it, their minds were struck with wonder. This is the verse that he had previously spoken at Rath Yatra. "My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend of Krishna on the field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go to the banks of the Jamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within the forest of Vrindavan." Hearing this verse, Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Mahaprabhu, "Without your special mercy, how could Rupa Goswami have understood your mind?" Srila Ramananda Roy said that previously Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had empowered his heart so that he could express elevated and conclusive statements to which even Lord Brahma had no access. "Had you not previously bestowed your mercy upon him," they said, "it would have been impossible for him to express your internal feelings." Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Rupa, please recite that verse from your drama, which, upon being heard, makes all people's unhappiness and lamentation go away." When the Lord persisted in asking again and again, Rupa Goswami recited that verse. "I do not know how much nectar the two syllables, Krishna, have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When the name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert." When all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard, especially Ramananda Rai, heard this verse, they were all filled with transcendental bliss and struck with wonder. Everyone admitted that although they had heard many statements glorifying the holy name of the Lord, they had never heard such sweet descriptions as those of Rupa Goswami. Ramananda Rai inquired, "What kind of drama are you writing? We can understand that it is a mine of conclusive statements." Swarup Damodar replied for Rupa Goswami. He wanted to compose a drama about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. He planned to describe in one book both pastimes of Vrindavan and those of Dwarka and Mathura. He began it in that way, but now, following the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has divided it into two and is writing two plays, one concerning the pastimes of Mathura and Dwarka, and the other concerning the pastimes of Vrindavan. The two plays are called Vidadgamadhava and Lalitamadhava. Both of them wonderfully describe the ecstatic emotional love of God. Ramananda Rai said, "Please recite the introductory verse of the Vidadgamadhava so that I can hear it and examine it." Thus Rupa Goswami, being ordered by Mahaprabhu, recited the verse. "May the pastimes of Sri Krishna reduce the miseries existing in the material world and nullify all unwanted desires. The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like shikharini, a blend of yogurt and sugar candy. They overpower the pride of even the nectar produced from the moon, for they distribute the sweet fragrance of the concentrated loving affairs of Radharani and the gopis." Ramananda Rai said, "Now please recite the description of the glories of your worshipful deity." Rupa Goswami, however, hesitated due to embarrassment because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present. The Lord, however, encouraged Rupa Goswami, saying, "Why are you embarrassed? You should recite it so that devotees can hear the good fruit of your writing." Rupa Goswami thus recited this verse, his verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disapproved of it because it described his personal glories. He expressed the opinion that it was an exaggerated explanation. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. All the devotees present so greatly appreciated this verse that they expressed their gratitude to Rupa Goswami for his transcendental recitations. Ramananda Roy inquired, "How have you introduced the assembly of the players?" Rupa Goswami said, "The players assemble at a suitable time under the heading of Pavartika." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In a drama, all the actors are called patra, or players. As stated by Vishwanath Kaviraj in the Saitya Darpana, When Ramananda Roy inquired about the arrangement for introducing the assemblies of players in the drama, Rupa Goswami replied that when the players first enter the stage in response to the time, the introduction is technically called the Pavartika. Introductions may be classified as follows: Udgatika, Kathodgata, Prayogatsakitasaya, Pravartika, and Avalagita. These five kinds of introduction are called Amukha. Thus, Srila Ramananda Roy asked which of the five introductions had been employed, and Rupa Goswami replied that he had used the introduction called Pravartika. So, it's not that Sukadev Goswami is just speaking from the top of his mind, making up a story. There's an entire culture, an entire strategy in the way he's presenting this pastimes of his main character, which he's now introducing. The reason I brought this up and wanted to kind of silhouette the verse is that we've heard this hundreds and thousands of times. Once the earth was overburdened by the military phalanxes, and Mother Earth assumed the shape of a cow and went to Lord Brahma, and it kind of rolls off the mind after some time, almost like a cliche. But today's verse, my duty, is to bring that scene to light. What's happening is that even the deity, the presiding deity of the planet, who's not no ordinary creature or personality, has become so burdened by the nature of the people who live on this earth that she's seeking relief and help from the supreme demigod, Lord Brahma. In other words, the atmosphere, the activities, the day-to-day life of everyone on the planet, practically speaking, had to have become practically intolerable. We often wonder why Krishna or Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, arranged to have such a nice community of devotees, the largest community in the Western world, in the boonies of Alachua. Small north central Florida, it's hot, it's not near the ocean, it's not near a big city, it's quite isolated in its own way. And sometimes when we go to the city, I remember one time when Hitta, our daughter, was about 16 years old. Girls that age want to dress nicely, and she wanted to get a leather belt or leather shoes or something. So we were in St. Louis at the time. We got in the car and we drove to the slaughterhouse so that we could see where the product comes from. We never made it. As soon as you get close to one of those places, the smell, the sounds are incredibly uncomfortable. And immediately she understood, I don't need a belt. I don't want the shoes. So we're somewhat protected in our environment, but consider the nature of the people who were kings at the time of Krishna, just prior to the time of Krishna's appearance. We'll learn in later chapters that at the day of her marriage, Devaki and Vasudev were driving the chariot. And Kamsa, Devaki's sister, had the reins. And there was an ethereal voice stating that the eighth child of Devaki would kill Kamsa. So what did Kamsa do? What was his nature? He pulled out his sword and he was about to attack and kill his sister on the day of his marriage. So imagine a world leader, for example, Barack Obama, at his sister's marriage, and somebody says, you know, the eighth child of that sister of yours is going to end up killing you. And he pulls out a dagger and is about to kill her. It's not even conceivable. So oftentimes we think that we're living in bad times. But that would be so uncivil that it would be it wouldn't be tolerated. But with Kamsa, no one said anything. No one stopped him. Vasudev tried with logic to dissuade him. But even that didn't work until finally Vasudev, who was well known for his word, said, look, even if a child is born, I'll bring it to you. So this is the nature of the people who were in charge of the government. I also looked up, because I wanted to try and understand Srila Prabhupada's introduction. His first sentence states that when the world is overburdened by unnecessary military arrangements and when various demoniac kings are the executives and heads of state, this burden causes the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in my experience, our historical reference from what we've heard, what we've studied, what we have access to, there are stone carvings, there are writings, there are books that go back 100 years, back to the time of Alexandria and the Egyptians and the Roman Empire. But at the fall of the Roman Empire and the Greek, Plato, Aristotle, these are the oldest writings known to mankind, the oldest history other than the Vedas. So at the fall of the Roman Empire began what's called the Dark Ages. And the Dark Ages continued all the way up until the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was the Renaissance period. So there was a dark period. In that dark period, look at the kings, look at the types of people, the Huns. Imagine you're living, even today we have pockets of military strength, where the military comes in and causes great anxiety and ethnic cleansing. Imagine you're living, and all of a sudden, the government takes issue with the Hare Krishna community and decides to kill every Hare Krishna that they can find. When Vasudev's eighth child was born, Kamsa heard the news, came down to the prison where Vasudev and Devaki were, and there was a little baby girl. He had killed seven of their children, babies. The leader of the country, the king, came down. He picked up the baby girl and tried to throw her onto the ground to kill her. And that baby went up into the sky and manifested as Durga with eight arms and said, you rascal! Stop this nonsense. The baby that is going to kill you has been born somewhere else. Stop harassing your sister. And Kamsa was so overwhelmed by this experience that he actually became humbled. He apologized to Vasudeva and Devaki and explained so many different things, how actually it's just the modes of nature. It's so many different things pushed me. I couldn't help myself. The next day, he met with his ministers and explained in detail what had happened. What did his ministers, the governmental ministers, the defense force, what did they suggest? Why don't we just kill all the children that have been born within the last 10 days, everywhere? Just go out and kill them. That way, maybe we'll get the one that is supposed to kill you. This is what happened. This is the type of people that were living there. And thus, Bhumi is feeling so distraught. A tsunami, an earthquake. As a demigod, she didn't have any recourse. She couldn't combat the demoniac people that were living at the time. And therefore, she's going to Lord Brahma to ask for help. On another note, Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, explains what the proper duty of people in government is. He also discusses it in the Bhagavad Gita. First verse of chapter 4. Imam vivasvate yogam proktavam aham avyayam vivasvan manave praha manor ikshvakave bravit. Lord Krishna said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivasvan. Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. Purport. Herein we find the history of the Bhagavad Gita traced from a remote time when it was delivered to the royal order of all planets, beginning with the sun planet. The kings of all the planets are especially meant for the protection of the inhabitants, and therefore the royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from material bondage to lust. Human life is meant for the cultivation of spiritual knowledge in eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the executive heads of state of all the planets are obliged to impart this lesson to the citizens by education, culture, and devotion. So the actual purpose of a leader, especially a governmental leader, of a king, is to make a situation favorable for the praja, for the people of the country, of the nation, so that they can advance spiritually, because this is the actual purpose of the goal of human life. So these topics reveal how undesirable the situation was at the time, and why Krishna came to correct that, and similarly how unfavorably our situation is. But there are pockets, like tonight, Harinam. We're allowed to go down onto the street and chant Harinam in front of everybody. Around the world, you can see so many different devotees going here and there. So it's not quite as bad. Oftentimes devotees wonder, why did Krishna appear then rather than now? But Srila Prabhupada, in his purport to this verse, said that Krishna has appeared in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. So it's our obligation, our duty, to try to enlighten people and help them. And it is horrible times. There's demons, but there are also devotees on the planet. And our duty is to try and increase that number. Verse again. Once, when Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds of thousands of military phalanxes of various conceited demons dressed like kings, she approached Lord Brahma for relief. Any comments or questions? Mahatma Prabhu?
Since Kali Yuga is more degraded than Dwapara Yuga, why is it that the kings in Dwapara Yuga were more demoniac than they are today?
I think you were traveling a few weeks ago. I gave class and described how even mathematically the amount of people performing sinful activities, there's reaction. And the amount of people performing pious activities, there's reaction. And the amount of people performing sukriti or devotional activities is without loss or diminution. In the course of universal history, there are times when, like souls that have performed particular types of activities bunch together and create civilizations and cultures. I think there's a story in the Bhagavatam, perhaps somebody else knows the exact detail, where I think it was Bali Maharaj and Indra were fighting. And somebody said, let's attack. And the leader said, no, now is not the time. Now is not our time. Now it's their time. The demons and the demigods are always fighting. Now it's their time. Time is on their side. Let's wait. In other words, there are times when goodness and prosperity and material benefits and some spiritual activities and piety are prominent, and there are times when demoniac elements and demons are prominent. And what's being described here is that at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, the burden was so heavy, so many demons had taken birth, so much sinful reaction had bubbled and was manifest on the planet that hundreds and thousands, practically speaking, it was just war, like living in, there are places in the Middle East. If you're born in Palestine today, practically speaking, your entire life is a battle. Or some of those played there. Their entire life, little kids have guns. That's their life. That's how they're living. So the whole planet, apparently, was overburdened at that time due to that bubble of people taking birth on the planet, and Krishna came to cleanse it. Trivikram Prabhu.
Good question by Mahatma. Those demons, then they were indeed super powerful. That a lot of the demons that were actually, you know, so regular man didn't have a chance. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, guys like Kamsa and Shishupal Jarasan, so they were super powerful. And very demonic, you know, not only, you know, very, very demonic.
Yeah, there's the question could be asked, just to keep going with your point. If the government, the United States government, if the government had a policy, kill any Hare Krishna, would you cut your sikha? Would you wear a sari? Would you wear the bindi? Would you go out and push and show yourself as a Hare Krishna, or wouldn't you? So the power of the demons was great, just to go along with your point.
Yeah. So so these demons, they were really super powerful. One of the scriptures stated that Mother Earth can tolerate so many things. Hmm. So many things. But she cannot tolerate a lot.
Yes, that's Bali Maharaj. Nice, beautiful verse when he's speaking Vamanadev. Vamanadev said, you vowed that I take three steps. I've already covered the entire universe with two. Wow. So he said, Mother Earth said, I can tolerate anything, but not a liar, and I don't want to be a liar, so please place your lotus step upon my head. Yeah. Stita D. Prabhu?
Yeah, when we talk about, like, you know, are the demons more powerful then or now or whatever, it kind of reminds me of like the stockbrokers who try to sell, you know, stock market may go up and it may go down, but over time it will increase, you know, so it's not like this linear little graph that just goes, you know, and the three modes of material nature, it's the same then, three modes. Is
thank you, good example.
And then the other thing, this is the golden age of Kali Yuga. I mean, in one sense, we say, Lord Chaitanya, you know, it's getting worse and worse and worse. But on the other hand, Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago. You would think there's some counterpoint.
Yes, even again, if you exponentially do the math, on the planet today, how many people will perform some devotional activity? hundreds and thousands of people will give donations, take prasadam, see the deities. Hundreds and thousands of people will do that. And it doesn't mean they become pure devotees immediately. There has to be a process. There has to be a facility given by Krishna, given by Lord Chaitanya, developed so that everybody can progressively advance. Oh, yes.
So, Prabhu, you very nice class. You were also saying that Vasudev had the reputation of being very, very honest, I imagine, like Yudhisthira, Prabhu?
Yes.
And so I was just wondering, how typical or proportionately, or roughly, how many persons were in that category of such, stellar honesty?
Not very many. But that's what caught Kamsa's attention. Vasudev spoke so much philosophy, explained so many different reasons. Your reputation will be soiled. You can't kill your sister. On the day of her marriage, your younger sister. Obviously, people are going to think, but that didn't even influence him. When Vasudev finally said, look, I'll give you the first child, I promise. Then Kamsa agreed, yes, this person is known, he won't break his word, I'll accept. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.